All right, back to 1 Corinthians chapter 3 again. And let me briefly review. We have looked at carnality, mainly as is described by the Apostle Paul in this chapter here, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And remember here, carnality, it certainly could include that, but carnality doesn't have to do with gross sexual immorality, okay? Especially as Paul uses the word here, carnality has to do with this, boasting in men. Yeah. That's just as carnal as sexual, gross sexual immorality.
Yes, sir.
So we've looked at carnality. We've looked at the fact from this chapter that God brings the increase. Any salvation, any spiritual blessing, God gets the credit, not simply as a manner of being kind to God, but because God deserves the credit, because God does the work.
Yes, sir.
Even those men, as Paul would put it, who plant and water, that's a work to do, Mason.
Yeah.
But yet God is the one that enables them to plant and to water.
Yes, sir.
So God brings all the increase. Next, we looked at the fact that there is only one foundation.
Yes, sir.
And let me, I don't have time to go back through it, but, you know, my justification before God is not faith. My justification before God is not repentance. It's not church membership. It's not asking God to forgive me of my sins. My foundation of justification, of reconciliation, the foundation of my salvation has to do with Jesus Christ and Him crucified.
Amen.
That's the foundation of salvation. Like when you build a house, the foundation is primary.
Sir.
No matter how good a house you have, if you have a bad foundation, the house will ultimately fail.
Exactly.
But if your house may be still a little weak, David, but if you got a good foundation, that house can stand. There is only one foundation. I mean, there's a lot of people who think they're going to heaven just because they believe.
Yeah.
It's just not it.
Exactly.
Let's move on. We also looked at works revealed. The fact that is this, God's people will give an account of themselves to Christ. Scripture's clear on this. Then we looked at the temple of God, and I will summarize it this way. those who hurt God's people, those who attack God's people, in effect, attack God.
Yes, sir.
That's what they're doing. You see, whether we always comprehend it this way or not, we are the family.
Amen. That's right.
And while I have for many years understood that academically, I didn't necessarily, or hadn't necessarily understood it experientially. But I know now I understand it experientially. And when I say this, I mean this.
Yeah.
As God is my witness.
Yeah.
And you got to be careful when you say that, because God will be your witness also.
Yes, sir.
When you say, but I mean this. This is my family.
Yes, sir.
My blood kin is not my family. Most of my blood kin hate the God I love.
Exactly.
They despise the gospel I preach. They're not my family. They may be my kinsmen according to the flesh. But they're not my family.
That's it.
And our Lord even went so far as to say, you would probably remember the account. They said, hey, your mother and your brother and sister, they're outside looking for you. He said, who is my mother, my brother, my sister? Who is my family?
Yeah.
He said, those that hear the word of God and keep it.
Amen.
That's the family.
That's it.
And let me tell you something. The family comes first.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
The family comes first.
Yeah.
Before kinsmen, according to the flesh.
Amen. That's right.
Before kinsmen, according to the flesh. Our Lord got pretty tough on occasion.
Yes, sir.
One fellow said, my daddy died and I got to go bury him.
Yep. Yeah.
Remember that?
Yeah.
Christ was telling people, follow me. Yeah. Follow me. And one guy said, Lord, I will, but I got my daddy died. I got to go home and bury him. He said, let the dead bury the dead.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's tough language.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Isn't it? Mm-hmm. But you know what he's saying? If your daddy was unregenerate, let your daddy die with the unregenerate, and let the unregenerate die with your daddy.
That's right. Amen.
Follow me.
Amen.
Follow me. Now, we've come to the next to the last part of this. One part of it, at least, I'm quite familiar with. Now let's read it. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, I'll begin in verse 18. Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. There's that word, Joe, that they are vain. And then for the sake of context, I will read the first part of 21. Therefore, because it's his summary.
Yeah.
Therefore, let no man glory in men. I could say we live in a day and age, but I suppose men have always lived in a day and age, especially since the fall of Adam, in which men think foolishness to be wisdom.
Yeah.
When men think that earthly understanding is somehow some great feat of wisdom.
Exactly.
I mean, we boast about ourselves, we boast about others and their skills,
mm-hmm.
their abilities, mm-hmm. their knowledge. And if we're careful to really think about this, when we boast on ourselves, or especially on someone else, we usually boast on people we can relate to.
Yeah.
We usually boast on people we think they're at least as good as we are.
Yeah.
Because we don't like bragging on anybody that we think's worse than we are. You see, man is a fit creature for boasting in himself. And he's fit for that through the fall of Adam.
Yeah.
When man ought to be ashamed not only of himself and his neighbor, he brags on himself and his neighbor. And usually this boasting is done when we think we can gain some advantage by it.
Yeah, that's it.
I want to begin from this text by saying, God does not glorify foolishness.
That's right.
Okay. Now I know what it says. It says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise, let him become a fool.
Yeah.
But it doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
Now if it just said to become a fool, that's one thing we could all do on our own.
Exactly.
We would not need God to help us.
Exactly.
We could make a fool of ourselves on ourselves. With ourselves. By ourselves. The point here is a play on words. God is not glorifying foolishness. God is dishonoring worldly wisdom, which is indeed foolishness to Him. And what God is calling upon His people to do is to become foolish in the eyes of the world.
Amen.
So that we indeed may begin to start walking in some sense of wisdom.
Yeah.
And of course, what's the context? The main context is this: quit bragging on men.
That's right, yes, sir.
Right? Mm-hmm. Quit bragging on men. So again, as it says, let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise, and it's way. Paul just continues, seemeth to be wise. This is not true wisdom.
Exactly.
It is an earthly, Adamic at best, wisdom.
Yeah.
And that wisdom is a fallen wisdom.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
As a matter of fact, that wisdom is a reprobate wisdom. That means reject. It's a wisdom that God rejects.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you seemeth to be wise, let him become a fool, that he may be wise. We live in a day and age in which men boast on preachers. And sadly, we live in a day and age when men boast even on grace preachers. And it ought not be so.
Exactly.
There was no stronger grace preacher than the man Paul the Apostle.
That's right.
And Paul says, when it comes to me, the planter, I am nothing.
Amen. That's right.
Now, the planting, that's everything. Yeah. The watering, that's everything.
Yeah.
That means something. But not the planter and not the waterer.
Exactly.
You are not where you are today because of Joe or Walter or Earl.
Exactly.
You are where you are today by the grace of God because of God Himself.
Amen.
That's right.
What truth you have heard, God gets the credit for it.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
Sure does.
God gets the credit for it. It is not of him that planteth, nor of him that watereth, but it's God that bringeth the increase. And all of this is the context.
Yes, sir.
Whether it's your salvation or it's your growth in grace and knowledge.
Exactly.
It's all based upon God. You see, worldly wisdom, which in this context, worldly wisdom is basically that which denies God's glory and gives that glory to man.
That's right.
Amen.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
That's why it seems to be a wisdom. Well, what's wrong with bragging on Paul the Apostle? Why? Because he said not to.
Exactly.
Because I'm nothing. Why brag on nothing?
Yeah.
When you can brag on him that is everything.
Exactly.
Worldly wisdom is indeed foolishness with God.
Amen.
Now, I quoted you the passage, I think it was last Sunday. And I know people hear these things and they say, oh, that sounds deep. And it just passes on by them. They don't think of the ramifications of these words. When our Lord Jesus Christ said, that which is highly esteemed among men is what? Is an abomination.
Amen.
It's not just dislike. This ain't just God's opinion.
Exactly.
God don't have opinions.
No, exactly.
We have opinions.
That's right.
God don't have opinions. God purposes.
Yeah, amen.
And God does. And let me tell you, not only is this worldly wisdom foolishness with God, but God deals with it as such.
Yeah.
Right? It's not just, well, Paul's not just saying this is God's opinion about worldly wisdom. Paul says God does something about this worldly wisdom he calls foolishness.
That's right.
As it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness.
Amen.
And again, the Lord knoweth the thoughts of the, what do they say?
Yeah.
The wise. Are they really wise? No. They're really foolish.
Exactly.
God knoweth the thoughts of the wise, that they are vain. Therefore, what? Don't let any man glory in men.
Amen.
Think about it. Worldly wisdom, which is indeed foolishness. You can put it either way.
Yeah.
Worldly wisdom is foolishness.
Yeah.
Foolishness is worldly wisdom.
There you go.
Worldly wisdom promotes self-deception. That's why it says, let no man be deceived. Or no, it didn't say that. It says, let no man do what? Deceive himself.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah. Exactly.
Because worldly wisdom promotes self-deception. Think about it. Worldly wisdom masquerades as true wisdom. But it is indeed foolishness.
Yeah.
You remember Samuel that time when he heard it? Ma,
yeah.
Ma.
Yeah.
You remember that, don't you?
Oh, yeah.
Huh? What it means, this bleeding in my ear.
Yeah.
And Saul the king said, well, you know, We kept these things for sacrifice to God. Now that sounds good unless you know the whole story. God had told these folks, when you go in, wipe everything out that has breath. Kill it. Utterly destroy it. Saul thought otherwise, didn't he? Huh? And when Saul heard that, he said, you remember what Samuel told Saul? It is better to obey than to sacrifice. Yeah. Now let me tell you something. Saul was trying to be wise.
Yeah, that's exactly it.
Saul kept the sheep because he figured he could feed on those sheep. Exactly. He didn't keep those sheep to sacrifice to God. Because had his true heart been set to sacrifice, he would have sacrificed what God ordained to sacrifice, not what he opinionated to sacrifice.
Exactly.
God ain't no dummy.
Exactly.
And we can't pull one on God. The problem is we can pull one on ourselves.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's what he's saying. Let no man pull one on himself.
Yeah. Exactly.
Isn't that what he's saying? Let no man deceive himself. If any man among you, well, I'm going to do this. Well, after all, that's a good thing. Not if it's not the right thing.
Exactly.
See, that's the whole point. It's not a good thing if it's not the right thing. Now, sometimes the right thing may be impossible for you to do, but that's still no excuse.
Exactly.
It's still no excuse. No. The fact is, God deals with such wisdom as that.
Yeah.
As he says, as it is written, he taketh the wise in their own craftiness. And that's amazing. That comes from Job. That comes from Job. And if you sit back and think about it, you see, Job had to be taught a lesson himself.
Yes, sir.
Didn't he? You see, Job spoke what was right. But Job still really didn't comprehend the magnificence and absolute sovereignty of God. He knew God was sovereign, but he hadn't tasted it fully yet. Because remember, he said, I've heard of you with the hearing of my ear. Now my eye sees thee. In other words, I know what the truth is, but I've experienced it now. I've experienced it now. And sometimes God lets us see our folly.
Yeah.
That we might see the true folly in our foolishness. Even Job was brought to say, now I abhor myself.
Yeah.
I repent in sackcloth and in ashes.
Amen.
And that's the best place when you're talking about God.
That's right. Yes, sir.
That's the best place to be. As a matter of fact, that's the only place to be.
Amen.
Now, let me just move on for just a moment. You know, let me give you just a few words about foolishness. Remember, when I say foolishness, I mean worldly wisdom.
Yeah.
When I say worldly wisdom, I mean foolishness. That's what this is saying, right? Let no man deceive himself. If any among you seemeth to be wise in this world, let him become a fool that he may be wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God.
Amen.
So wisdom equals foolishness when it comes to this world's wisdom. Of course, you're aware of this passage. Probably sounds familiar. I would say just about everyone. The 14th Psalm. You can turn there. At least the first part of this will be familiar to most, I believe.
Yeah.
And then some of the rest. Some words about foolishness. Psalms 14. The fool hath said in his heart.
Yeah.
And then I want you to look at your Bible.
Yeah.
It says in the King James, it says, there is no God. Now that statement is, that statement can mean nothing more than the person who doesn't believe in God is a fool. Doesn't believe God exists is a fool. That's not what it's saying. The Bible doesn't even call an atheist as an existent.
Yeah, exactly.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
The Bible doesn't even acknowledge the existence of atheism.
That's right.
Because God exists, period.
Yes, sir.
And this is not the fool has said in his heart that God does not exist. Mm-hmm. It is the fool has said in his heart, no God.
Exactly.
The fool said, the fool is the person who says no to God. That's the fool.
Amen.
God says, don't brag on men. The fool says, I certainly will.
That's exactly right.
Yep. Then you got people who say, well, we don't boast in men, but we believe in free will. That is an absolute oxymoron in the truest sense.
Exactly.
It's moronic.
Yeah.
Man not only doesn't have a free will, man has a will that is set against God in all that it is.
Amen.
Man despises God with his heart and his mind and his soul. Man is at enmity against God. And that's basically what the devil said in the beginning. No, God.
Exactly. That's it.
And after Eve and being deceived, what did she say? No, God.
Yeah. Exactly.
And Adam in taking of that fruit from her hand, what was he saying? No, God. And every time man cries out trying to glorify or honor his free will, what's he saying? No, God.
Amen, that's right.
Yeah. That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
And I will go on to say that free will is nothing more than self-will clothed in religious rhetoric.
Amen.
And self-will is condemned of God.
Yeah.
Man doesn't have a free will, but he is self-willed.
Yes, sir.
There's a difference between that.
Yeah.
Self-will is this. I will do this.
Yeah.
I will think this way. I will walk this way. I will conduct myself this way. And God says, go right on ahead then.
Yeah.
You're a fool.
Exactly.
You remember, he called one guy a fool.
Yes, sir.
He said, thou fool, this night shall your soul be required of you. And let me tell you something. There are no atheists in hell.
That's right. Amen.
They might be a few who think they are on this side, but there are no atheists in hell.
Exactly.
And what's amazing is most of the people that I've met that claim to not believe in God are one of the first ones to try to dishonor God when something don't go their way by using his name in vain.
Yeah.
That's like saying, why don't they use Santa Claus instead?
Yeah.
Huh? Why? Why? Because deep down inside, every man has the witness of the law of God implanted in his heart, and he knows God's real.
Yes, sir.
Scripture says so. Even the heathen who've never heard the law of God have it written in their hearts, whereby they either accuse or excuse one another concerning certain things. As I said before, even cannibals don't eat each other, themselves, their own group, their own tribe.
Yeah.
They go eat other tribes. It's always the enemy they eat,
yeah.
Mac. I mean, you don't just say, well, we're going to feast on Grandma this evening. You don't last very long when you do that, do you? Now, we may laugh at that, but that's the whole, you know, they call it honor among thieves. Why is there honor among thieves? There is not. Honor among thieves.
Exactly.
But the point is, even thieves, even thieves have a conscience.
Exactly.
That still can, to some degree, discern good and evil.
Yeah.
Unless their conscience has been seared with a hot iron.
Amen. That's right.
How do you know a reprobate's a reprobate? When their conscience is seared with a hot iron and they no longer can even hardly feel the guilt of sin. When whatever they do no longer bothers them anymore.
Yeah.
Are there people like that? I'm afraid there are.
Oh, yeah.
I'm afraid there are. Just like you can't say for sure, Joe, but you can get an idea. Just like you can about one of the elect of God. When God calls somebody, Joe, they're going to start walking differently.
Amen.
They're not going to walk like they used to walk.
Exactly.
Sadly, some people don't get that either. And that's scary.
Yes, sir.
No, the fool has said in his heart, no God. Look, they are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There's none that doeth good.
Amen.
Who's that? The fools.
Yeah.
Now, this passage is what? Guess what? It's quoted by Paul in Romans 3.
Yeah.
And it's quoted and it's saying, we all are this.
Yeah.
So therefore, I'm the fool and you're the fool.
Yes, sir.
Because this is what we are by nature. Right?
That's it.
The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there was any that did understand and seek God. They're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good. No, not one. And then remember the context. We just come through the temple, right? Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge, who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the name of the Lord.
Amen.
You see, foolish people try to hurt God's people. And they could even do so by bragging on God's people.
Oh, yeah.
Well, yeah, you're not really that bad of a person. You ever had anybody ever tell you that? Oh, I have. Oh, you're not really that bad of a person. And I thought, boy, if you only knew. I got you deceived, don't I? I got your number. But they may be lying to you.
That's true.
Just trying to play you up for something.
Oh, yeah.
Huh? Yeah, you never know, do you? I mean, most thieves, you know, there's still a few that'll come right up to you, point the weapon at you, you know, and say, give me your money. Most of them nowadays walk up behind you, crack you in the head, and you don't even know they're there.
Yeah.
Take your money from you while you're laying on the ground. Mm-hmm. I mean, we got people who kill kids, who kill other kids for their tennis shoes.
Yeah.
You know, we live in a depraved society. But you know what? Mankind has always been like that.
Amen.
Look back at just why God destroyed the world by a flood.
Yes,
because of the murder and the mayhem and the deceit.
Yes.
You know why? Because men are fools.
Yes, sir.
Because we brag on ourselves or one another.
Yeah.
Now, we ought to be thankful. Mm-hmm. We ought to be thankful, but even then we're thankful. We ought to be thankful to who?
Mm-hmm.
To God.
Yeah.
Here's another word about foolishness. Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. Mainly verse 9. The first part of that. Fools make a mock at sin.
Yeah. Yeah.
Now this is not always true. This is not a set rule for every individual.
No.
But most folk, you can talk about certain sins and they're bad. Mention child molestation.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got guys been locked up for murder, but they think a child molester is the worst thing that ever walked.
That's exactly right.
Now, don't try to read into what I just said anything about where I stand. That's not the point. I mean, you hear it even in the prison setting. Those old child molesters. You got somebody that may have took two or three people out, David, and tortured them to death. And then hack their body up into pieces. But they still think the child molester is such this the most despicable thing. Now, what I'm here to say is men will make a mock of sin.
Yeah.
Because they will come up. And all men do this to some degree. We accept sin so far.
Yeah.
And then each one of us has our cutoff point. To where certain sins then start to become too dirty, too heinous, too unclean, too dangerous. Well, you know, I might tell a little white lie.
Mm-hmm.
Every once in a while. You've heard it, ain't you?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's called the dark side. And what's the other side? And we'll see if anybody knows. Nobody knows that here, so you're not all swallowed up in that, are you? I can't remember it either. It's on Star. It's on, what is it? Yeah, it's one of those. You got the two different sides, you see. And the whole problem is they're both the dark side. That's the whole point. The light side, the dark side, whatever it is. I just tell little white lies. No, God says all liars, all liars. That's what it says. All liars shall have their part in the lake that burneth with fire and brimstone.
That's it.
You know what? You say, that scares me. It ought to. It ought to. Not because I'm not a liar, but because I are one. And that means I got to have grace. I have to have had someone stand in my place, because all liars must suffer the judgment of God Almighty.
Yes, sir.
And you're either going to suffer it yourself, or you will have suffered it in your substitute.
Yeah, exactly.
And therein, beloved, is true wisdom. Mm-hmm. Because listen, it's easy to mock sin.
Yeah.
And not even realize it.
Exactly.
You know that? To just brag on someone else is carnality. It's fleshliness. It's sinfulness. To brag on a grace preacher and to give him credit for the truth is sinfulness.
Amen. That's right.
Well, I like Paul. Well, I like Apollos. How many times have I heard that among God's people?
Yeah.
Well, I like listening to so and so. Well, that's all well and good. But truth is what matters,
exactly.
Not so-and-so.
That's right.
It's not the point. Well, I get more from this guy. You best thank God, because it's not the guy.
Exactly.
God don't have to let you have anything.
Exactly.
If you're receiving what you're receiving simply because of that guy, you ain't got nothing.
Amen. That's right.
You've got something that's of no value before God. Because it's God that bringeth forth the increase.
Amen.
No? Let me give you another one. Proverbs 28. I'll give you one more and then I'll try to move on. Proverbs 28. Uh-oh. Verse 26. He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool.
Yes, sir.
You ever been there?
Mm-hmm.
I have. The last time you said to yourself, well, I know what the answer to this question is. You remember what the Bible says? Anytime that a man thinks he knows anything, he knows nothing yet as he ought.
Amen.
And we forget and we think, boy, I know this. And we don't. Well, I've been there 100 times. Yeah, but you ain't been there enough. That's just it. You just think the only way to know the truth absolutely is to have always been true.
Yeah.
You can't partake of the false and say that you relate only to truth.
Yeah.
You see, we fell in our father Adam, and we fell all the way.
Yes, sir.
All the way. The problem is foolishness is to look to yourself.
Yeah.
Foolishness is to look to others and not absolutely 100% look to God.
Exactly.
In other words, unbelief is foolishness.
Yeah, that's right. That's
because unbelief is not neutrality.
Nope.
It's not just not believing in God. Mm-hmm. It is disbelieving God.
Amen.
That's the problem with unbelief. Mm-hmm. Unbelief is to call God a liar. 1 John chapter 5.
Yes, sir.
That's what unbelief is. You see, the point is, there is a wisdom received only by free, sovereign grace. And this wisdom received, or not even, it's received, but it's set aside for us. It's purpose for us. And we're made to be a part of it, and we're absolutely passive in the whole matter. And let me show you that. And it's in our text. It's in the context of the text, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. 1 Corinthians 1, And look at what it says. We're talking about wisdom and foolishness, right?
Yeah.
Verse 27, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And that's, you know, you say, well, I'm not a part of this foolish world, but I am.
Yeah.
And that's part of your problem. You still don't think you are yet.
Yeah.
You know, when God begins to save someone, they begin to see themselves for what they really are.
Yes.
I'm no longer the great part of this world. I'm the off-scouring of this world. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to confound the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised hath God chosen, yea, and things which are not, to bring to naught things that are. Why? That no flesh should boast, that's that word, glory, that no flesh should glory in his presence, but of him are ye in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us.
Amen.
This has nothing to do with what I am personally.
Exactly.
I am not these things personally. No. I am made. I am in Christ Jesus by a work of God.
Yes.
And God has made him to be what for me? Wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So that, according as it is written, the one that boasts, let him boast where?
God.
Boast in the Lord.
Amen.
Boast in the Lord. Now, how is it that Christ has made unto me wisdom?
Yeah.
Is that just some ethereal thing? No, it's real.
Yes, sir.
And here's the answer. Here is how a holy God can be just and justify somebody like me. It's in Christ.
Yeah.
That's wisdom, folks. That's the thrice holy God taking a believer. Somebody say, but you believe. Yeah, you're right. But I'm ungodly.
Exactly.
I'm sinful. Yeah. I'm corrupt. And God damns sinfulness.
Yeah.
God condemns corruption, Joe.
Yes, sir.
But he done it for a people in his Son.
Amen.
Amen.
There's wisdom. There's the holy God. Still being just, and yet justifying an ungodly person.
Yeah.
That's fair.
Yeah.
That's more than fair.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
That's grace.
Amen.
That's grace. And let me tell you, justice is not dissatisfied. Every person that goes to hell will go to hell because of their sin.
Yep.
And every person that goes to heaven will go to heaven because of grace.
Amen.
Amen.
But let me tell you, on either side, sin will have then, once all of it's over, it will then have been dealt with.
Yes, sir.
It's either going to be dealt with individually or be dealt with in a substitute.
Yeah.
And therein is wisdom. And that's what Paul says. We preach Christ crucified, the wisdom of God.
Amen.
That's how God can be just and still justify somebody like you and me.
Exactly.
That's how God can choose the foolish, Joe.
Yes, sir.
The nothings.
Yeah.
The base things of this world. Yea, hath God chosen. There's a wisdom. And it's not only a wisdom. It is a wisdom that Christ has made unto us these things. But we don't just stay passive. Mm-hmm. We begin to see that wisdom. Hear what I'm saying? You'll begin to see that wisdom. You'll begin to understand Christ is the one foundation. Now let me, my time's just about up. I've known this to be true for a good while. But sometimes when certain circumstances come together, when certain things happen, then you experience these things more directly, more upfrontly. They become more real to you. You know, just like Job, hearing of the Lord, he knew the truth of God Almighty being in absolute control, but now he had experienced it firsthand.
Yes, sir.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's the way God does with every one of his people. There's not a person who hadn't been here that hadn't heard that God Almighty is sovereign. But there have been a lot of people come in even this small building and leave and go out of here whose lives clearly indicate they don't think God is sovereign.
That's right. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Well, if they thought God was sovereign, they wouldn't conduct themselves like they conduct themselves. Now, they'll try to blame it just the opposite. Well, because I know he's sovereign. You know what that? That's a fool.
Yeah.
Because a fool makes a mark of sin.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Yes, a fool will use even God's truth to try to excuse his foolishness. That's a fool indeed.
Yes, sir.
It's a fool indeed. What does Scripture say? There's a positional wisdom, but there's also to be a wisdom experienced.
Yes, sir.
And you can only do that by becoming a fool in this world's eyes. Mm-hmm. What does the Scripture say? The fear of the Lord is what? The beginning of wisdom. Yes. And that's something you experience.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Somebody said, well, that means we're supposed to have great reverence for the Lord. Well, you should have great reverence for the Lord. But you best be afraid of God.
Amen. Amen. That's right.
Because our Lord Jesus Christ himself said, you better, don't fear men. Yeah. All they can do is kill your body.
Exactly.
He said, you best fear God. He'll destroy both your body and soul in hell.
Yeah.
That means be afraid of God.
Yeah. Yes, sir.
And that's why that one songwriter taught was grace that taught my heart to fear. Why? Because grace picks who it wants.
Yes, sir.
And it lets others go.
Yeah. Exactly.
It rejects others. But that same grace, Mac, the same grace that taught my heart for fear, that same grace, my fears relieved.
Amen.
Hmm? Because the same grace that frightened the bejeebus out of me is the same one that lays hold of me and says, look to Christ. Lean on Christ. Trust Christ. You know, our Lord told us we're to be wise as serpents, right? But harmless as doves. In other words, you don't have to be a pushover.
Exactly.
Right? You don't have to be a milk, sop, wet piece of toast, donut, wet dish rag, whatever other adjectives, you know, people push you around. Well, you're a Christian, you got to take it. I ain't never. Paul said, I know, they always love to quote our Lord Jesus Christ when he said, somebody smack you on one side, let them smack you on the other.
Yeah.
But they never want to go to Paul where Paul said this, under just as much inspiration, live peaceably with all men, as much as life possible within you. Because you go ahead and hit me twice, try it the third time.
That's right.
It'll be on. That's right, it'll be on. And here's another thing. It doesn't say for me to let somebody hit you twice.
Exactly.
If I see them hitting you, I'm going to sneak up behind them while they ain't watching.
Exactly.
And I'll give them a what for. He didn't tell me I had to watch you get beat.
Nope.
You might have to take a beating, but he didn't say I had to sit there and watch it.
That's right.
Did he?
Yes, sir.
People get stupid. You know that? They get downright stupid. No, we're to be, what, wise as serpents, but as harmless as doves. In other words, you don't got to be a pushover, but you don't have to be some brute either.
Exactly.
You know why it is that most people disdain godly wisdom? There's two reasons in Scripture. Jude 16 gives us one. There are men who have men, there are some men who have other men's persons in admiration because of advantage.
Yeah.
If I tell people the truth, they won't listen to me.
Yeah.
And for the most part, that's true.
Yeah.
Look at the places where men try to stand up and just tell the truth straight out. Most of them are small places like this right here.
Yeah.
Even today. It wasn't always so in this country, but it is now.
Yeah.
And let me tell you, usually as you see the crowd get bigger, the truth is diminishing and diminishing.
Exactly.
I'm not saying that's a 100% absolute thing, but it just happens.
Yeah.
It just happens. Another one, Galatians chapter 6. The Apostle Paul warned the Galatians about them men. He said, they constrain you to be circumcised. Why? Only less for two reasons. One, so that they don't suffer persecution for the cross of Christ, and that they may glory in your flesh.
Exactly.
To do what? To boast in men.
Yep.
Boast in men. You see, some men cannot deny the existence of God. They can't. They're physical makeup. They're too religious. They're innately religious. They're even born religious. Though fallen, they're religious. They cannot deny the existence of God. So what do? They try to take credit for God's glory.
Amen. That's right. Yeah.
They won't give God all the glory. You ought to, that ought to be the easiest thing for a creature like we are to do. To have been created by God, to have been blessed by God in this universe, to have everything right here on this earth at our disposal. Everything we need to survive, to enjoy life and happiness and peace. And yet what do? We try to take the credit for it.
Yeah.
Isn't that something?
Oh, yeah.
And it gets worse. Even when it comes to the preaching of God's word, men still try to take credit for
it. That's right. Amen.
Yeah. That's it.
True wisdom is this, and true foolishness is defined as its opposite. True wisdom is this: brag in God only.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's true wisdom. To brag on anything or anyone else is foolishness.
That's right. Exactly.
Foolishness. Father, may we see this. May we understand this. May it not just be we've heard of it with the hearing of our ears, but we now see it. I ask it in Christ's name. Amen.